All right, as you guys know, national holiday today, Mother's Day. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the moms. I hope you enjoyed the breakfast this morning. I know the photo booth is still out there. Emily, will the photo booth still be? Perfect, okay. So after our gathering's done, be sure to go back there, get some pictures taken. But I do pray, if you're here with your mom, man, don't let her do anything today. All right, just give her a break. Flowers are great and all, but just let her rest, right? I've watched some of my funny videos out there that people share on social media that's just moms coming on there saying, I just want to be left alone for Mother's Day. Please, dear God. So I think there's some truth to that. But seriously, make your mom feel special today. Those who, maybe your mom isn't here anymore, I know it's hard. And we pray for God to give you that peace and that strength. I know for me, we're praying for my mom as well, who's waiting for her miracle, a liver donation. And I know many of you are praying as well, and so it means more than you know to our family. But again, happy Mother's Day, and I pray you feel loved and welcome here, as well as new people here at High Mill Church who are visiting with us today. I pray that more than anything, you feel the love and the peace of Christ. So this morning, I just want to pray over us before we get into the Word of God to be challenged and to leave here transformed. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we love you so much. We are thankful to be here as the body of Christ. We are honored, Lord, to be here to worship you with one another, people beside us who we love, who love us, who stand up and fight for one another. Lord, we lift up your name today. It is not about a personality here. It is about nothing other than the person and the work of Jesus Christ. And we put our faith in you. We love you, Father. Bless my words, our time together this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so this morning we're doing something a little different. We're going to begin with the end in mind. You know, public speaking 101 is you always want to lead people to a destination. I'm just going to put all my cards on the table this morning and tell you what the destination is, and we're going to work backwards, okay? Go ahead and go, Johnny, to the next slide. You're going to see a little phrase up here at the bottom from 2 Corinthians 5:7. You guys see it there? It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. Just stare at that for a moment, okay? Many of you have heard that phrase before. You've heard it on greeting cards. You've heard it in cliches that people will throw around. But really just think about what this is meaning for a moment, what Paul is trying to convey, who wrote this. We walk by faith, not by sight. That phrase right there might be the epitome of Christian maturity. It is the summit that we seek to climb to as a church, as individuals, that we would be able to walk in our faith in such a way that what we see does not shake us, that we would be able to stand firmly with unshakable faith, recognizing that our faith is found actually in the unseen, not the seen. It's hard. It's difficult. This phrase right here, where we're trying to get to today and in our life, this goes against everything that you are wired to think in our country and the way our culture works. In a culture of immediate gratification, of wanting to have everything figured out right away, this verse right here blows all of that up. With the life that Jesus called you to live and how you're to live as a Christian, it's right here, walking by faith, not by sight. And man, is it hard for us. Michelle and I were talking last night about, you know, being in Honduras and even other places we've traveled. They are able to live in such a way that is such with such innocence regarding faith and trust that God will provide, that God will lead them. And here in our culture, in our context, like we talked about last week with Joy, it is so hard for us at times to just trust, to have faith, to remain firm and steadfast in the one who called us. It's hard. All right, so how many of you, when I say the phrase trust fall, know what I'm talking about? Hands up. Okay, who in here has no clue what I'm talking about when I say trust fall? Okay, only one. I won't point you out. Okay? Don't worry. If you don't know what trust falls are, you're lucky, okay? They oftentimes end up horribly. A trust fall is usually something that you do to build teamwork, to build team unity, to build trust among one another. They do these at leadership events. They do trust falls, you know, for high school football teams. We did them. And what they do is they perch you high above, and you fall back. And you trust that selected people will catch you. Okay, so you all know the gist. You know how this works. Well, trust falls can be horrible if you do a few things wrong. And here's what they are. See, for a trust fall to work well, you have to cross your arms. Keep them close. You have to keep your neck straight. And they always say close your eyes, but you have to usually just like this, stoic. Because at any moment before you fall back into the arms of the people that you're trusting, if you go like this, crouch down or anything, what happens is you actually risk hurting yourself really, really bad. And so you have to just fall. Okay, so real quick, hands up if you've done this before. All right, let's get Ryan up here. Let's get Scotty up here. Mr. Radcliffe, did you say, you look like you work out. I'd like you to come up here. Not that you two don't. Let's have Caleb, come on up, bud. You're my son. Oh my gosh, okay. Let's see here. I need three more. Jordan, my cousin, come on up. Justin, you're here. Justin, I need you. Come on. All right. I don't need all men. Why am I picking all men? I need a woman up here too. Yeah, you can stay. You're good. All right. I need two strong women of faith. Shannon, come on up. You're like a sister. You got me, right? You'll protect me. And everyone's crouching down, hiding. Kelly. Come on, Kelly. Okay. These individuals are going to be my people that I'm going to fall into, okay? No phones out because we don't want to go viral today, right? All right, so I need you guys to do something for me. I want you to just do three people on this side, three people on this side. Okay, yep, this is perfect. Yeah, you're doing great. Don't worry. Okay, come a little closer to the point where your arms are connected. Well, now, yeah, I'm going to, you're doing really good, guys. Okay, so trust falls work where, like I said, you just fall back. Now, let's get an analogy here before we do this, okay? This right here is the Father's will for your life. This is where God is trying to lead you. You are up here. You are called to have faith and trust that God will lead you, that he will never let you basically be destroyed. You might go through hardship, you might go through hard times, but he will be with you. He will walk beside you. That's what this is supposed to represent, okay? Okay, I just had surgery, so let's keep this in mind. I'm a little nervous, so if you drop me, then it's, you know, interim period all over again. We don't want to do that, okay? All right, so watch this for a moment, okay? Are you guys ready? Okay. Now, when I come back, though, just push me back up. All right. I'm not even going to look behind you. Here we go. You guys are talking to me. It's making me nervous now. Do you know what you're doing? Okay. All right, here we go. Okay. Perfect. All right, throw me back up. Okay. Now, right? No, you're not done yet. Stay right here. Did you film this, honey? You filmed this, didn't you? Oh, my own wife. Okay, so that was a trust fall. We just went with unshakable faith. I said, okay, they're going to catch me. Here I go. Now I'm going to show you how we usually treat this unshakable faith that we're called to have, we want to have, but we don't truly have it. Okay, so now we're going to do the flip side. All right, you guys ready? We're going to do this again. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to do this. You guys are all God. You're leading me, okay? Here we go. Did you have breakfast this morning? Are you strong right now? Do you feel?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Who's going to catch me first? You got this?
He's got it.
Okay. Let's go. Come on. All right. You know what? I don't like this. Come over here. Let's make it a little easier. Come over here. We'll do it right here. Okay. This is easier. I can manage this from this place. Scoot back a little bit. Yeah, keep going. Okay. All right, God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to step out into faith. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do what you're calling me to do. Let's go down a little bit more. Okay. All right. Oh, it's a big jump. Big leap of faith. Down just a little more. All right, here we go. Oh, okay, I did it. All right, I did it. Wow, I understood where you guys were at. I could feel you as I was falling back into you. I knew who was up here. Every I was dotted, every T was crossed. I feel great. I stepped out in faith. Good job, guys. Thank you very much. Okay, now, the point is, what you just saw me do is what almost every single one of us do in this life of faith. We might start up here and say, God, I love you. I'm going to follow you. I have faith in your calling in my life. I'm just going to fall back into your provision. I'm going to fall back into your calling for my life. But then, as we get older, it gets harder to have that faith. It's harder to be unshakable. And so we compromise with God. You know, God, I'm just going to make it a little safer. You look at all the situations, you look at all the scenarios, you know, God, if I step out and do this, am I going to have everything handled? Well, let's just make it a little easier. Well, okay, we'll make it a little easier to the point where you're not really stepping out in faith at all. You're taking measured risks that aren't really a risk at all, and you just slap some faith on it, some scriptures, and you say, ooh, look at me, I'm a Christian. That's not how this journey works. You and I were called to live in such a way that we could stand from the highest perch and fall head first, knowing that our God is with us. It might not be pretty. It might be difficult. You might go through pain. You might go through struggle. But you know, because you have unshakable faith and you live by faith and not by sight, that he's going to be with you, that he'll walk beside you, that he's going to catch you. See, that's how Paul was able to say that verse. I love the author Hebrews, when that author describes faith in 11:1, Hebrews 11:1, he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, down through the early church, all the way to present day, the key to the Christian life has always been to live in such a way that we put all of our hope in the unseen. That's why it's called faith. You know, people want to get in debates about the existence of, you know, Jesus resurrected and all these things. And I always say, it's faith. I can't prove this empty tomb. It's faith. It's trust. And for so long, people have been unshakable in that faith. And you know me, I'm always a big proponent about getting the words right. Faith has been twisted so many times by so many people down through the years. Faith is not a commodity that we have a certain number of. You know, like, well, I have 10 pounds of faith. How much faith do you have? You have 7. I have more than you. That's not how faith works at all. Faith is not transactional. Faith is relational. There's a difference. When we think that faith is transactional, what happens is we guilt ourselves when things don't happen, and we think, well, I didn't have the right amount of faith. That's unhealthy. That's unbiblical. You see, faith is relational. Faith means to trust. So when we say we have unshakable faith, what we're saying is we trust him so much that no matter what befalls us, no matter what is in front of us, we know who we serve. And we are strong in that faith. We are strong in that trust. You see, that's biblical faith. That's faith the way Jesus taught. That's the kind of faith you and I are called to have, to live with, and to share with others. Do you know that God has assignments for you? He has a mission for your life, but he watches to see if they will step out in faith. Will they trust my word? Will they trust where I'm trying to lead them? And with every step, every trust fall we take, where we still say, God, I still trust you. Father, I know what you're up to. I may not see it, but man, I stand unshakable right now. I'm shaking a little bit. I'm falling a bunch, but I still know you're good. That is when God can entrust more of his authority to us as children of God. That's a biblical principle, by the way. You see it from Genesis to Revelation over and over and over. Because God is looking back and forth for men and women of God who stand firm like oaks of righteousness, that no matter what comes, they stand with unshakable faith. We have one goal this morning on May 12th, 2019. This is the goal. You ready? This morning, we want to be inspired by the living Word of God and seeing how faith can transform any person and situation so that we can leave here empowered, ready, and excited to take whatever happens tomorrow with a life full of faith. So if unshakable faith is the goal, and that's how Paul lived, let's jump in and see how he did this. What is unshakable faith? How is it walked out in the life of a believer? Because I don't want to assume. Do you want to live with, like, unshakable faith that says, yeah, God, I believe you, I trust in you? Just so I know we're with each other. Hands up if you're with me this morning. Okay, we're good. I just want to make sure I'm connecting with you. All right, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. We're going to jump a little bit around in 2 Corinthians 4 and chapter 5. Okay, I'm going to read in verse 7 through 12. The Apostle Paul says, "We have this treasure in clay jars, so that it might be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. Listen to this. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are persecuted, but we are not forsaken. We are struck down, but we are not destroyed. We are always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. For while we live, we are always being given up to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be made visible in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life is at work within you." If you ever want to read a more authentic letter, man, 2 Corinthians is it. He talks about hardships. He talks about difficulty. He talks about setbacks, disappointments. But through it all, he is able to remain steadfast and firm, able to recognize that, yeah, I've been afflicted. I've been persecuted. I've fallen flat on my face, but I'm still standing. Here I am still. I'm not forsaken. You see, Paul has a way of living with such faith that he refuses to give up. Refuses. Because that's what unshakable faith does. Unshakable faith within us is something within us that compels us to never give up, to never stand down, to always know that we are to stand firm, unshakable, knowing the God we serve. And I get it. You know, it's easy for me to say this up here. I don't know where you've been. I get it. But I promise you, I've been in some of those places too. I've experienced some of those things just like you have. And it's hard to never give up and to keep grinding and grinding and grinding. But there's so much hope on the other side. There is so much growth on the other side. There's so much freedom on the other side. You can't give up. You know how you meet people who they embody that fighting spirit who don't give up? A few years back, I was on the border of Syria and Lebanon in what's called the Bekaa Valley. And I had the esteemed honor of sitting with a couple who had been going through so much. They sat down with me and they explained what they've been going through as Christians living in the Middle East. They explained all the near-miss shootings that they have almost been in, all the near-miss bombings that have almost bombed their home. They explained the persecution that's been taking place. And they're going through all of this, and I'm just sitting there like this, speechless. I couldn't believe it. And then she says at the end, "And just last week, my niece was shot in Damascus at her grocery store, point blank, killed by an ISIS fighter." And she's telling me this, and her husband's right there. And then they said something at the end of it that I journaled that I had to go back into because I wanted to remember exactly what they said. I've shared part of this story before as well here, many years ago. But they said at the end of that conversation, "It's a joy to follow Jesus, to stand strong in the midst of such persecution, because we know that no matter what comes our way, our God is still alive." They spoke English, so it was amazing to have this conversation. And I couldn't believe it. They refused to give up. They refused to lose hope because they knew who they serve. You see, all of us, we might have things we're going through. Obviously, it's not maybe as specific as what I just told you from that story. But every single one of us has hardship. Every single one of us has a story. Every single one of us has things that we are going through, have been through, or will be walking through. And God watches and prays. Jesus is next to the Father praying, don't give up. Stand strong. Don't go by what your eyes see. Go with unshakable faith. See, some of you are hanging on by a thread. You're hanging on by a thread and you're wondering, God, when will it end up? Or when will it let up? When will this change? I'm telling you that as a follower of Jesus, you cannot live like you are in fear of all the time of that collapse. You have to find that way by the Spirit of God to rise up to be strong. And it's hard. And you might have to take it day by day, but you can't give up. You can't give up. You can't look at things around you and think this is it. You got to have unshakable faith. There's no other way. Yeah, we could sit and dissect everything and qualify things. I understand that. But from beginning to end, what I see in the Word of God are men and women who stood strong with unshakable faith, who never chose to give up or throw in the towel. That's the kind of faith God longs to restore in the church. That's the kind of faith God wants to restore in you and I. All right, so Paul lives this way. He lives with that unshakable faith. We all know people around us who might embody that unshakable faith. I know this church has some of those people. I'm going to embarrass them right now, but just for a moment. You guys might remember Josh Carey who led us in worship. Do you remember back in 2018, that might have been the fall or the winter, him and Kelly stood up here talking about his battle with mental illness and his journey and where he's been. And I might say, you know, unshakable faith, and Josh would be the first to say, yeah, I shook a little bit, but here he is. He led us in worship this morning. He's following Jesus. He's learned how to navigate. He even launched a clothing line to benefit people battling mental illness. Guys, that's never giving up. It's fighting. It's grinding. It's continuing to go on and on. We have Travis and Shelley Bornstein who aren't here right now. They're celebrating their anniversary. But Travis and Shelley lost their son to the opioid crisis with addiction. Every single ounce of blood, sweat, and tears since that day has gone towards them trying to launch Ohio's first, I want to say it right because I don't want to mess this up, Relapse Wellness Prevention Center, right here in our own church. They refuse to give up. They keep going and going and going because they have unshakable faith. Guys, let's be inspired by the examples around us. Keep our eyes open to see. Because vision's everything. Let's look at what Paul says next. In 4:16, we're jumping ahead a little bit. He says, we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Look at Paul's perspective there, guys. Paul lived with such radical faith that even his eyes were trained, his vision, the way he saw things, were so trained to recognize that in every moment, in every instance, it is an opportunity for growth. It is an opportunity to deepen faith. No matter the persecution, no matter the hardship, he was going to rise above it. He was going to be unshakable. Do you realize Paul had the same Holy Spirit that you and I have? Paul had the same blood, the same organs, the same mind, the same brain, everything that you and I have. He's no different. He wasn't divine. Paul was able to look at his own life that even if I'm wasting away in my flesh, even if I'm sick, even if I'm battling all these things, inwardly I'm being renewed day by day by day. That's because the Spirit of God was at work within his life. But Paul saw differently than most people. How do you see? Think about what you're going through right now. Okay, you know, we do a great job coming in the church. We come in like this. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, high five. Go Browns, whatever, right? Go Browns, right, Scott? Yeah. Steelers fan. Pray for him. He needs Jesus, okay? But seriously, we do this. We come in here, guys, with that face that we got it, we're good, we got it all together. When on the inside, we're trembling because of what we're going through. We're breaking down each day. It's a miracle we even got to this building to celebrate together. How do you see all those things that are making you feel that way? Now, you might get really annoyed with me right now because I'm trying to help you see differently. This isn't a pep talk. It's called realigning our vision the way the Bible tells us to. It's not the positive, you know, self-thinking movement. It's not what I'm talking about. The self-thinking positivity movement places self at the center. We don't belong at the center. Jesus does. Okay, so we affirm and declare God is good. Jesus is our King. He will lead us. There's a reason Paul says we're clay vessels, guys. He says we are clay vessels, a clay pot. Clay pots break easily. They shatter. You and I break easily. We shatter. But the mystery of the Christian life is that even within that frailty of who you are, God is at work. God is doing things behind the scenes. God is strengthening you. His Spirit has been given to you to lead you. As frail as you might be, the Holy Spirit is there, ready to renew you each day that you choose to fellowship with Him. But it all goes back to how we see. So many of us, when we see things that we're going through, we choose to be defeated. We choose to play the card of, look at all this, I give up. My goodness, I'm telling you right now, please don't give up. Stand strong. Because the one who is within you is greater than all the stuff that's in the world. We serve an amazing God. And I pray we remember that. I pray this church grows to embody that. You guys might know this guy named Lecrae. He's a rapper, okay? He's also like a poet. Lecrae said this once, and I couldn't agree more. He said, a great storm will put out a little fire, but will feed a strong one. Storms of life conquer weak faith, but grow a strong faith. Let me say it again. A great storm will put out a little fire, but will feed a strong one. Storms of life conquer weak faith, but grow a strong faith. It is a scientific fact that when you have a mighty storm rolling through an area, if there's a small fire, that fire will be put out. But if there is a burning blaze of fire, like a wildfire, no matter the amount of rain, no matter the amount of wind, whatever it is in that storm, it will make that fire grow exponentially. It's true. So think about your life. Think about the faith that you have. If we have fickle faith, if we have that trust that is weak, that does the trust fall from down here, that wants to have it all figured out, wants to see every single turn, and won't make a move until we understand every single process of the journey, you got weak faith. It's like this. God wants big faith, not an amount. He wants that faith to grow through relationship. He wants that faith to grow through stepping out, taking risks. That's what he's doing in your life. But you got to see him through that lens. You got to have that vision. So we're bringing this all home now, okay? We began with the end in mind. We walk by faith, not by sight. You know what happens when we can say that? When we can have vision from above? When we're able to not give up, we have confidence. Look what Paul says next in chapter 5, verse 5. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. And so we are always confident, even though we know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Paul lives with confidence. He's able to be unshakable for two reasons. One, he says the Holy Spirit was given. Guys, we have God through his Spirit within us. I fear we don't recognize how amazing of a mystery that is. Apart from that reason, Paul also says that God prepared us for that. Don't miss that little phrase. Do you know that you were prepared to be a man and woman of God who does not live the easy life? You were prepared to be a Christian who does not just believe with your mind mental declarations of who God is in the Trinity. You were meant to be an active individual living that heart journey of ups and downs with Jesus, where you are doing everything you can to grow, to conquer more ground for the kingdom of God. It is a terrifying and beautiful journey, but God prepared you for it. But so many, like, you know, soldiers who might be prepared for battle, and they just sit at home, and they just watch, and they wait, and they never grow to their potential. We do that. God wants to instill confidence in us. We're not going to have it all figured out. Your eyes will betray you. You're going to see things, and your mind's going to play games with you. But if you listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He will say over and over, stay strong. I'm doing something here. I'm doing something with your life. Do not look to the left and to the right. Cling to me. I'm trying to transform who you are, who you're becoming. Don't give up. See, that might be for one of you this morning, but it's, man, I think it's for all of us. The world needs to see men and women who are not fickle. Fickle means flaky, okay? The world needs to see men and women who are ready to die for their Savior, who are ready to suffer, who are ready to be inconvenienced for the sake of the gospel. We're going to end with this quote this morning. Listen to what this author says. Many times, when God isn't changing your circumstance, it's because He's mostly concerned with changing you within the circumstance. Your character, your inner strength, your integrity matters to Him because they are everlasting qualities. The wisdom, the strength, the maturity that grows within you are all things you are going to need to sustain the calling God has for your life. Know that there is a purpose in your pain, and confidence is being birthed. Man, is that true? Don't waste a good storm. Don't waste the trial. Press in. Stay within it. Don't let somebody rob you of the lessons that God's trying to show you. Remain unshakable. Remain steadfast. Remain strong. Because God's trying to take us, you, this church, to higher ground, to where we are unshakable. I promise you, a day is going to come where people hear about this community of faith here, and they say to other people, this community here, they're unshakable. They set out to do things that are impossible. They have individuals within that congregation that are doing ministry objectives and ideas that are creative in local schools, in the inner city, overseas, because God is nurturing within this community unshakable faith. And He can do that because it's relational, not transactional. It isn't, God, give me 20 more pounds worth of faith. No, it's, Holy Spirit, I surrender. What I'm going through, where I'm at, you are faithful. I'm pressing into who you are. I'm in the Word of God. I'm praying. Lead me, God. I don't feel your presence now, but lead me deeper. I refuse to throw in the towel. I refuse to give up. I refuse to think this is it. Day by day, I will lean upon who you are, and I will trust that you are taking me to a whole new place that I don't even see yet. That's how faith grows. That is what God wants to do. But how do we see? Have we already given up? Do we have the opposite of confidence? Do we have cowardice? The Holy Spirit longs to shake you up. Josh, will you come on up? Remember, we began with the end in mind. Guys, the goal is, when you wake up tomorrow morning, to look at life. Now, when you leave here today, to look at life, to look at how you're living this Christian life, and to ask yourself, am I giving too much attention to what my eyes see? Is my mind playing tricks on me? Am I depending on the Spirit of God? Am I walking by faith? That's what he longs to do. Don't waste a good storm. Don't waste the season that you're in. Press in. I told Josh this morning we were going to do something different. I knew it because when we prayed together from 8 to 9, we prayed down front, and I saw the same thing I saw earlier this week. When I was praying for us as a church, I saw an image of myself standing right here in this moment, and I saw people walking through the doors. And you're walking in with that smile. You're coming in ready to worship God. But it was like I saw the facade was gone for many people. And you limped in. You were on crutches. You were just broken, defeated. You came in here to try to have a victorious moment in worship, but man, you were defeated the second you pulled in the parking lot. You came in here wanting to have faith, wanting to trust that God is at work in your life, that he hasn't given up on you, but you have. I saw it, and it brought me to tears. And I stayed right here this morning, and I wept, and I cried, because I felt the burn of so many people who've lost faith, who have lost trust. And I believe God wants to restore it today. God wants to restore it. And it begins, if you're not a follower of Jesus, oh my goodness, the adventure of a lifetime. Please come and talk with me so we can pray together and I can show you and lead you into what that looks like. But for those who are followers of Jesus already here, you need to do some work at the altar. You need to surrender. Hanging on to too much stuff. You're giving up, and he wants to restore faith. Every Sunday we have communion here. Okay, this morning, everybody is on your own for communion. We're going to open up the altar right here. Do not leave. If you're not coming to the altar, do not leave yet. Stay and pray and ask the Holy Spirit to begin to restore that trust, to help you grow. But for everybody else who you know, God, I need that refreshment. I need you to meet me where I'm at right now because I'm hurting. It's hard. I need to be unshakable because I'm shaking pretty bad. This altar is for you. Come forward. Do not waste this moment. And let the Holy Spirit bring a transformation in you. And after about 10 or so minutes or whatever, I'm going to come back up and lead us as a church in prayer. Okay? Are you with me this morning? Will you stand with me, please?